Welcome back. We're all talking, but the idea is Gen Zers are not. And that they have, I talked about this earlier, phonophobia, where they don't want to be on the phone. They get nervous when people are calling you back. This is a real thing, and this is the topic of our discussion here at 819, and we're working to get the author of this article. Gen Zers aren't talking, and it could cost them. You know, I kind of get it. In most instances, I prefer a text, but I'm available to talk to people, too. These younger people rely on the text and the non-social interaction.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes I just rather, I want a person to hear my voice. I want to hear their voice, and I want to be able to talk directly to them. People, you know, texting is fine. People don't always look at their text right away, and sometimes you need to talk to a person right away, and I want to, you know, get an answer. So I'll call. I want to talk.
Yeah, and the idea here is that if you're not exercising that muscle, then it's going to go away. You're not going to be able to effectively communicate. So if you're just relying on text or you're just relying on social media to communicate, businesses are going to go, well, what am I going to hire you for? You can't even talk to people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's problematic if you're looking for a gig.
I was going to say, you know, if you're trying to get a gig and you're in an interview, that's a problem.
Can you just text me and we'll have this interview? just text me.
Just text
according
back and forth.
To Mary Ellen McDonald, it's not just being, you know, socially awkward. Talking is important brain exercise, a desirable difficulty that enhances our cognition. In the moment of talking and over our lifetimes, young adults frequently listen to podcasts or these little short videos online, but they don't have to respond. Mm-hmm. And the mental effort required to speak is much greater than what is needed. And Mary Ellen McDonald joins us now, Professor Emerit of Psychology and Language Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Good morning. Great to be here.
It's great to talk to you. It's great to talk.
yes.
Go in better detail here of it's more than just these younger people being socially awkward.
Yeah, so I actually wrote a book about the value of talking. It's called More Than Words, How Talking Sharpens the Mind and Shapes Our World. And in the book and in the editorial we're talking about, I show how talking, the act of going from an idea to actually getting your idea out and being coherent, is a mental sharpening exercise. It focuses our attention. It helps us learn better. It sharpens our brain as we age, and all sorts of other good things.
Mary Ellen, Gen Z often says that they feel lonely and they want closeness. So how do you explain that contradiction between, you know, wanting connection, craving that connection, and avoiding face-to-face conversation?
It is weird, isn't it? But it comes from, I think, lack of practice and the resulting anxiety about having face-to-face conversations. So some Gen Z people feel like texting is safer because you can reread your text and make sure you get it right. And the back and forth kind of in the moment pressure seems scary to them. And they haven't had so much practice talking as all of us older folks who hung out all the time and chatted with other people. They're on their phone. They had social isolation from COVID and all sorts of other things that make something that seems so easy to a lot of us seem hard to them.
Well, then you introduce the variable of the parents, where whether they're too overbearing or, you know, you've got older kids that are living at home, that they're not, they don't have the ability then to go out and be able to explore these conversations because the parents are playing a role.
Right. And it does seem that at least in some cases, and we're not going to blame one thing for this complex situation in every kid, but it does seem that some parents see their kids' anxiety and think about solving that in the moment. Okay, I'll make that phone call for you, or okay, I'll smooth that situation out for you. And that doesn't give the kid the kind of practice that they need in order to get good at this.
And you talk about how it's not just young people, it's older people that when they sort of fall into isolation and just watch TV and don't have interactions with people, that can be a big problem. So it's not just the young people. My question would be also, it's not in this op-ed here, but what about some people worrying about saying the wrong thing? Like, we're human, but there's this cancel culture thing. Maybe people are worried about making a mistake.
That's right. And, you know, interaction is a risk. And we certainly know, hey, I'm a professor and cancel culture has come to academia where professors worry that they'll say the wrong thing or that they'll let their students say the wrong thing in discussions. And that's a real thing. But not every conversation is a target of cancel culture, though definitely some are. And these kids, at least, and maybe some adults, worry about saying the wrong thing in the smaller kinds of contexts, like trying to make an appointment for the dentist on the telephone. And that even that seems kind of threatening to some people.
You mentioned smartphone bans and structured social events. Are those small changes actually making a difference?
I think they are. And so, you know, it's perhaps too soon to see because many of the bans have been like just this school year or something. But if you talk to teachers, which I have, and some professors, and talk to people who have been interviewed who decide to go smartphone free for a while and just use a dumb phone for emergencies, they feel that it can be life-changing, including more desire to have conversation with the people around them, because we all know that there are situations where, well, you could talk to somebody, but let me just scroll through the internet instead.
I think it's a great topic, a talker, if you will. Mary Ellen, how can people read more about this?
So there's my book, which is More Than Words: How Talking Sharpens the Mind and Shapes Our World, that came out this year from Penguin Random House. And I also have a recent article about how to talk to yourself, which is not the same thing as getting the social interaction, but that is on the online magazine called Psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-E. And those are some of the places you can learn more about it.
Mary Ann McDonald from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
There are instances in where I try to avoid talking too. Like if I have to call a customer service line,
that's a different animal.
Yeah. I'll just eat that cost. I don't need to deal with that. Oh, no, thank you.
There's also this like trend that parents are trying to get just landline phones for their kids.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's right.
Corded
yeah.
landline mm-hmm. phones.
Remember you have to call people and their parents might answer
yeah.
and you have to talk to them.
Is hey, Jimmy home?
Yeah. yeah. Uh-huh. That apparently
no
helped
me,
us. That helped us.
Yes, it did.
And brought us to this moment.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo talking about the Spartans next at 8:35.